got into Harvard Law.
What, like it's hard?
Scarface on repeat. Scarface on repeat. Constant, y'all.
Catch a painted pony on the spinning wheel ride.
Some people are saying that your new music sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Well, maybe Bob Dylan sounds a lot like me.
She doesn't even go here.
They knew, and they let it happen.
Oh, and in case I don't see you.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
94.9 Radio Western. You are tuned into Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. My name is Elijah.
What's going on? What's up? I don't know where I am.
You ran in here in a blaze of glory.
I'm Mike.
Okay. Yes, you are Mike. Yeah. I am Elijah. We are Outside the Frame.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about movies.
Yeah, we do.
I'm explaining this to you just to catch you up to speed over the past two and a half years.
I need it.
We talk about movies. We talk about movie culture, things that are happening in the film culture. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Sometimes we bring on guests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not today. Last week we had our guest quota. And then next week we also have a guest on the show.
We do.
So
what's next week?
Am I allowed to talk about that?
Well.
Okay, for sure. We have Andrew Dodd of Film London fame coming in to talk about the London Indie Film Initiative.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That's next Tuesday. Same bat place, same bat time.
Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock here, 94.9. So, it's going to be fun. And it'll be good to chat with Andrew about all things Film London and kind of what's going on with the Highland along with Film London.
An interesting collaboration that's coming up.
We'll
be talking about other, like, obviously more broad movie things in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about like the state of indie filmmaking, what indie films look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Just the beauty that has come out of that scene over the past few years. So it'll be a fun episode if you're into that type of stuff.
If you're tired
of the blockbusters, that'll be your episode for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really going to be talking about blockbusters today either. Before we get into that, though, as always, if you would like to take part in the conversation with Mike and I, 519-661-3600. Give us a text. Mm-hmm. We do not do calls because this is a talk show, and it is so hard to put somebody on. And I don't trust the – I love all of our listeners. I love the people that tune into Radio
Western.
Don't
want to talk to you, though.
I don't trust them on the phone. I don't trust them without a pre-screen call.
Sure,
Because I've done that before, and
– It can go south.
The cut button is here for a reason,
you know? It can go south pretty quick. In a couple of weeks, other house cleaning things, December 9th, Outside the Frame. Myself and Elijah will be over at Holy Diver for our last trivia of 2025.
That is right. Yes, December 9th at the Holy Diver movie trivia night. We are so back.
8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
That's right.
At the Holy Diver. So again, as per usual, great prizes.
Oh God, yeah. Anybody who's been
knows,
like, we don't just have great prizes. We have tons of them. Like, we just have so many prizes to give out.
Yeah.
So
we actually, like, just started giving out prizes to the fourth place team last week, just so, like, we could spread out the prizes a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we might continue to do that. There's usually some kind of physical media.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually some posters.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually some stuff from Holy Diver, like gift cards, drink glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They usually provide something crazy. Like last week, they had a Goonies poster, which was unreal, and then a signed Death Star picture. It was a picture of the Death Star that was signed by an actor from one of the. We couldn't figure out who the. Someone had to use the QR code to figure it out. And then Radio Western usually also sponsors like a movie night in type thing with snacks, and it literally is like unreal the prizes that are available. So. Fun categories. There's going to be some fun categories.
As always.
As per usual. And it's going to be a fun time. So that's next, in 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
3 weeks from now. I know that's crazy, but December 9th is, I think 3 weeks away, right?
Yeah.
Today's the 18th or something?
Today is the 18th, so three weeks away. It's fast approaching.
26th, 2nd, 9th.
Yeah, so we got some time. We've got some time, but put it in your calendars. Do not make plans for that day.
Yeah.
Or for that night, sorry, because, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think that just about covers it for our housekeeping stuff.
One thing I wanted to mention, this is not house cleaning, but movie related.
Sure.
Do you know who got an honorary Oscar over the weekend?
That would be Mr. Thomas Cruise.
Tom Cruise at the Governor's Ball, Governor's Awards, whatever.
Hey, we know we haven't given you an Oscar yet.
Yeah, but here's
one.
He actually had a really great speech, I thought. Like, he asked everyone to stand up that had worked with him over the years. And it was a really, like, heartfelt speech. And he kind of basically said that he has dedicated his life to film and will continue to do so, he said it was a little coded, but I think everyone kind of knew what he was going for is protecting sort of film in a way that, you know, we really like,
mm-hmm.
which is the premium format or the large format releases of film. So he couldn't, I think probably for political reasons, couldn't like be straight up about it in that environment. However, I think in his speech, he was pretty clear about like, yeah, he's all about the theatrical experience.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was just cool. I thought an interesting thing, too, because he's kind of moving past the Mission Impossible stuff, which he's been doing essentially since Collateral in 2006. I mean, he's been, he did The Mummy, he did Jack Reacher, but like, essentially, he's just been in Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to kind of, because there's like essentially a generation, if not two, that don't really understand like him or know him, not understand, but know him as like an actor.
Yeah, because he kind of stopped doing dramatic roles maybe around like what, like Valkyrie, Lions for Lambs?
Yeah, basically the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Like I said, like to me, like Collateral, which was 2006 with the Michael Mann film with Jamie Foxx, is his last like great film as an actor. He actually plays the villain in that role and in his role and in that film, and it's great. It's a fantastic movie.
Has one of my favorite lines.
Is it the homie?
Yeah.
That's my briefcase.
That's my briefcase homie.
Yeah.
One of the best white boy homies ever. Yeah.
Yeah. We got another one too in One Battle.
We did.
There was some like I saw online, some people were like, oh, this is like Collateral. But he did a few, but basically since for the last 20 years, has just been on sort of like not sort of has just been on the blockbuster train and mainly the Mission Impossible train.
And
so
mainly because like, and it's not that he's just like, oh, I can make lots of money doing the Mission Impossible stuff. It's because he also that also presented a challenge for him as well, because there's a reason why it took so many years in between all of these Mission Impossible movies. And it's because he's planning out these stunts.
Crazy stunts that
take years
to
even. And I know towards the
end.
And
then he's doing it at like 55, 60 years old. And you're like, what is happening? Right
jumping
now?
From like one plane to the next.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just insane things to think about doing at that age. But like he's. No one else is doing it like Tom Cruise.
No, but I just think like acting chops wise, he did some really interesting stuff, especially in the 90s. Like, you know, with, Magnolia.
Magnolia, for sure.
He's unbelievable in that movie.
Was Born on the 4th of July, was that 80s or was that?
90s, it was 94, I think.
Okay.
I mean, he's a like, honestly, a legit actor.
Oh,
like,
very much so.
And not in like, and he's a great action star too, but it'll be interesting. The guy that handed him his award on the weekend was the director he's working with for the film that's releasing next year. That's supposed to be sort of his bid for a real Oscar.
That's Inuritu, right?
Inuritu,
yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. We'll see what I think. It has a summer planned release right now, which is a little interesting and odd, but but supposedly it's you know his return back to hey, I'm an actual actor. It'll be an interesting year, and it's weird they kind of gave it to him now, knowing and with that director. It just kind of seems like an odd time for that. But,
yeah, you know. I mean, take this how you will, but like they don't control who wins.
No.
However, so maybe this is just like, in case it doesn't happen,
right,
you know, in
right.
case someone else yeah, comes sure. through and just completely sweeps the campaign trail next year. This is yeah. just our way of saying, like, we yeah. do appreciate you, yeah. and hopefully we can give you another one.
Yeah.
Which would be an interesting thing to get a Governor's Ball Oscar and then actually win.
And then win an actual Oscar.
Yeah. yeah. I can't think of another time in history where that would have happened.
I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So I thought I'd bring that up because I think it's pertinent news for our movie talk show.
Of course. You know? Of course. I guess the only thing, do you know what Labubus are?
I do.
Did you
yes.
know that they're making a movie about Labubus?
I mean,
Sony Pictures.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you watch The Studio with Seth Rogen, you'll know that this is like this just tracks, right? It's
yeah.
the Kool-Aid movie with
Ice
Martin,
Cube.
With Martin Scorsese, you know, like, and then you know he's like, do you want to? Because he wants to do Jonestown.
That's right, with and, Steve Buscemi as the
and
lead.
Then, yes, Steve yeah. Buscemi is the lead, and then they want to just like force in a Kool-Aid thing in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just so that it's basically an advertisement for that. So I mean, yeah, they do Lego movies, which is insane to me that they're just doing movies with Lego people in them, but they are wildly successful.
And yep.
they did. With I mean there was what's that video game, there's not Minecraft, the other one, the older one where the little pigs where
oh Angry Birds,
there's Angry Birds movies.
There's Angry Birds movies, that's right.
I mean, like, so we're like, this isn't yep. surprising
no
at all.
No
so.
Sam's favorite movie of all time, Pixels.
Pixels.
I mean,
there you go
yeah, yeah. they're yeah. gonna keep doing this as long as they can kind of milk that like
yeah.
unoriginal IP
yeah.
Format
sure.
so
I mean Minecraft made like $700 million or whatever.
It's like one of the highest grossing movies of the year.
Yeah.
So
yeah. so what? So you know, it
who's
going to
stop
sense.
Them?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
it
yeah.
is what it is.
Yeah.
I think that's it for movie news that I've got, anyway.
Yeah. No. That's yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd bring up Tom Cruise thing. That's the Labubu. It'll be like David Fincher. Like David Fincher directs
no.
the new. The Labubu movie.
That man's too got his fingers too deep into the pie of whatever Squid Game's American remake is going to be, which is interesting that now we've somehow brought up a TV show twice in this.
Yeah, it's true.
In this,
I mean, if you're going to do that, I mean, just give us season 3 of Mindhunter. I don't
that's
know
what I'm saying.
Like, don't do anything else. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, it's the only thing that matters. Like
dude.
In TV, like just bring back, like just. That's what everyone wants. It'll make
yes.
$1 trillion.
Yes,
you've waited long enough. Just
do it.
Oh, it's too expensive. No, they're spending hundreds of million dollars on garbage. Like,
do you know how much money they put into campaigning Emilia Perez last year?
Exactly.
Like,
so yeah. what are we doing?
Like, exactly.
Like, take whatever thing you're gonna do. Don't do that, and just do season 3. Give Fincher all the money.
Yes,
and just go and do that. Like, what are you doing?
It's such a better use
like,
of resources, and it's not like the demand isn't there.
Well, that's what this is the annoying point. Who's asking for Greta Gerwig's Chronicles of Narnia? Who's asking
Dude.
For that movie? Greta Gerwig fans aren't asking for that movie. Not like
no.
Narnia fans aren't asking for that. Who's asking for that movie?
The last one was made just under 20 years ago, I think. Like,
well, they made 3 out of the 5 books, I think. I think there's 5 books. They made 3. I think 3 of them.
That's right.
Like in the modern, like you can find the BBC versions, but in sort of modern day, like in the sort of mid to late 2000s, they
yeah.
did a run of them, and I think they did 3.
I think they did
and,
3 as well,
and
yeah.
they were quite successful, actually.
Mm-hmm.
However. Who's asking for this is my point.
Right.
You know how many people are asking for season 3 of Mindhunter?
Every single day I see something.
Right.
Just about, you know.
Yeah. So just do that then, you know?
You know what? At least we have the David Fincher Once Upon a Time in Hollywood prequel to look forward to.
That's wild that exists.
I know. Like... because it was released on April Fool's, I'm still kind
yeah,
of trying to catch up to the fact that it's not an April Fool's prank, but
it's
the
weird.
Fact that we have a Quentin Tarantino script directed
by David Fincher,
yeah.
starring Brad Pitt.
Yeah. It's an interesting, and so I'm like, I'm still looking forward to it, but I'm like,
well, yeah,
like it's like
yeah.
it's almost too good to be true. So
yeah.
I'm like cautiously, know. You know, optimistic about it.
Yeah.
Should we get into what our segments are about today?
Yeah. I
we
mean,
can start
can,
with mine.
Yeah, you can talk for the next 30 to 40 minutes. And
okay.
And then we might get out of here early.
Okay. That's cut the episode short today.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you were listening to our show last week, we ended it with something that we call the audience recommendation watch. And that is where, for last week's show, we were taking recommendations from people on our Instagram page,
yep.
people texting in, people mm-hmm. around the station. And they got to recommend a bunch of movies. We threw all of these movies into a bucket. And then we had our two guests last week choose movies for us to watch.
There were shenanigans.
I know you think that.
Yeah, 100%
I know you think that. Because
and
of
then
how
Dalton's
beautifully...
And then Dalton's getting angry at me that I'm texting him while I'm watching it. I'm like, dude, you made this happen. I'm like, what are you... Like, don't get angry at me. You know what I mean?
It's your fault.
Like, if you don't put that movie in there, I'm not watching it. So, so then we don't have to have this discussion, you
was
know?
Was that the torture that you had to bestow upon him for choosing that movie? Putting it in there,
yeah. Like he deserves a lot worse than that. To be fair, but
I'm very excited to get into your movie. I think we'll save that one for last, just because I think it's going to be very, very fun. So the movie that I was, Maddie picked my movie,
yeah.
And so the movie that
well, she didn't pick the movie.
She picked it out of the hat.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah, good, yeah, good. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah, so someone online had recommended through our Instagram page the movie The Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
Cool. Dalton chose the film out of the hat for me, and the film that came out was Phantom Thread.
Yes, Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread.
Yeah. So those are the two movies we're going to be talking about.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I guess we can probably start with mine, and because I think that yours is going to be very... I know that we have differing views on this movie, and I think that makes it almost even more fun. So, have you seen The Umbrellas of Cherbourg?
Okay. I have not. No.
Okay.
No.
1964.
Sure.
Musical.
Uh-huh.
Directed by Jacques Demy.
Yeah.
So, obviously...
This is a musical that went off my radar, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, not, that's fair. I mean,
I grew up with like the more traditional Hollywood musicals. Mm-hmm. Not to say that this isn't one. I have absolutely heard of this movie.
Yeah.
I watch, I think, every musical, like big musical at least that there is.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this one. So
yeah,
from 64. So we're just post like sort of golden age,
like French New Wave.
Now the new wave's starting to kick in.
Yeah, and he is like to his credit, Jacques Demy is known as like one of the more
progressive
and well known of that era.
Yeah.
I mean, along obviously with like Godard and
yeah,
Truffaut.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that does make sense that this one was also nominated for I think 4 Oscars.
Yeah,
obviously for a bunch of like below the line categories.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't win any, surprisingly, for how much of like a cult classic this film is.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie, I mean, in its essence, this movie is about two lovers who end up getting separated. And because the guy has to go, he gets drafted to the war. It takes place in the late 50s, early 60s. It spans some period mm-hmm. of time. And
both of ours take place in the 50s.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Good point, actually. Yeah.
And also both of them are like pretty like cinephile. Like you really,
yes.
Yeah.
Especially because there were some movies in that bucket that
were not
at all. We had Tiffany the Doll, which is a straight Tubi movie.
Tubi
original.
Yeah, yeah. Love me a good Tubi.
Oh, a good Tubi original. Is there's nothing like it. But this is a very cinephilic type movie.
Yeah. And same with Phantom Thread. Same with Phantom Thread. Yeah.
Same with Phantom Thread, yeah. Exactly. This movie is basically just... Oh, Zootopia. this movie is... Sorry, I saw an ad for people who are listening. This movie is about two lovers, mm-hmm. young lovers, and the guy has to get drafted to war, so he leaves. And then she is faced with this decision of if she stays, you know, with them or if she leaves and goes with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is...
What's the runtime there?
The runtime is a good cool hour 31.
Okay.
91 minutes.
Oh,
clean.
Yeah. You got to love the French, right?
Clean, like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They know exactly when to cut it, which is just phenomenal. And it's good. And that was one of my favorite parts about this movie was it is a clean... It doesn't really... spend a lot of time that's unnecessary.
Doesn't overstay its welcome.
It doesn't, no. Yeah. And it's a pretty clean watch.
Mm-hmm.
I did actually get quite a bit of enjoyment out of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Is it in English or French?
It's in French.
Yeah.
The whole
okay.
thing's in French. The whole thing is sung in French.
Wow.
And,
that's interesting.
That was my biggest deterrent from this movie mm-hmm. of me liking it. As far as musicals go, I love a good musical.
Mm-hmm.
Sung through musicals, though, are not my cup of tea.
What kind?
Sung through. So, like, every single word is sung in the movie. There's no dialogue whatsoever that is not
gotcha.
Sung. I do admire how this movie does it, though, because mm-hmm. this movie doesn't have, like, most musicals will have, like, oh, this song is happening here.
Yeah.
This song is happening. This movie has no songs.
Yeah.
The movie just has a constantly playing score, and they're singing all the dialogue, essentially.
Yeah, you can't go more than 90 minutes for that, dude. That's crazy.
That's exactly it. And, like, even 90 minutes, in my personal opinion, is, like, really stretching it. Really stretching it.
Now, it kind of, not to say that these two films are related necessarily, but when you were giving that description, it kind of reminds me of a lot of the, I mean, there's songs. I mean, they are definitely songs, but in Sweeney Todd, there's a lot of, like, it's a different kind. I mean, you have your big hits from that musical for sure. However, there's a bunch of stuff in that movie slash play that's very, like, talky, singy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're getting out a lot of, like, sort of information, whether that's character information or what's happening in between people. And that's kind of interesting that, like, and there's dialogue for sure. Like, there is dialogue. But that musical in particular is definitely, like, it's less, like, song, you know, dialogue piece, song, dialogue piece. Like, it's very, like I said, like, sometimes you're, like, almost, like, is Johnny Depp actually singing or what's going on here? Like,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's, you're getting all this information. It kind of goes into, all of a sudden the melody, like, starts to hit and they start bringing back certain things and certain, you know, phrases that they keep bringing back over and over again. So, but like I said, like, it's at times you're like, it's very talky at times, right?
And that's the thing is, I think which especially I do like, I'm a fan of Sweeney Todd.
I love Sweeney Todd.
I think it's a great movie. Yeah. A lot of that movie works for me. I like it a lot.
And the play, like the play movie. I like the movie a lot too, actually.
I've never seen the play. Yeah. But
it's fun.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to, because I know I've always liked the movie. And that is one of the things I like about a play or a movie or a musical for that matter, that kind of plays out like that, is, you know, I feel like, oh, we're back in another song, but it floats so well because it can seamlessly transition from song to singing.
This one
talk.
Is just like, saw like songs the whole time is what you're saying.
They're just singing about, like, just how do I describe this? They're singing about what's going on in the situation at any given point. You know, talking about being sad that her love has left and that he's not writing her back as frequently as she feels like he should. Mm-hmm. And there's this new guy who's who wants her hand in marriage. No matter what the conversation is.
They're singing. Yeah. This is so French to me. It's like, okay, what if?
Right?
Like musicals, Hollywood's doing all these, you know, it's post, like, all this golden age of musical stuff. And the French guy's just like, you know what? What if they just sing the whole time?
Whole time, yeah.
What if it's an opera, but, like,
but that's actually
in a musical form?
That is exactly how it plays out, like an opera. Which, here, you know what? I give full points for creativity.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if my research will portray me on this one, but I can't find an earlier example
of something like this.
And so just to be able to take a swing like that, I fully admire.
Did you like it or was it not?
I did enjoy it. Yeah. Like, I haven't put it on Letterboxd yet, but I'll probably end up giving it like a 3.5.
Okay.
3.5 stars. I think there's a lot to like about
it. For a odd, culty, cinephile French musical movie where they sing the whole time from 1964?
Yeah. Yeah,
three and a half is, you know,
pretty good.
Yeah,
because that's the thing, is it's well acted, it's well sung. Yeah. The music is great. Mm-hmm. You know, like the score anyway is quite good. The only thing is, and like the storyline itself, again, not too far away. It doesn't overstay its welcome. I think it has a very good ending.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the whole movie's split into three parts. And I'm not just talking about as its beginning, middle, and end. Like, it is literally split into like part one, part two, part three.
Yeah.
And the second part gets a little meandering at points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really, like, that's the only time where it really starts to overstay its welcome, because it doesn't really feel like much is progressing.
You're saying it could be 80 minutes, is what you're
easily.
Saying. Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. And they're pretty thin characters, if I'm being completely honest. But, I mean,
it was probably more about the form, like the form and the act of seeing if this could be possible, right?
100%.
Like, you know, in the same way I was talking about earlier today, but with someone at work about Avatar and how originally when Avatar came out, like the first one, that's kind of how it was spun to, like, that, because a lot of people were kind of harping on the you know, retread of the story. It's, you know, Fern Good. Gully, it's Pocahontas or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
But the response to that was, and from Cameron and other people, were that, well, the story is there to serve this thing that I've been, you know, inventing for essentially 12 years.
Yeah.
Right? Of, you know, I have this technology. I can't be worried about, you know, trying to tell a new interesting story because I just have to see if this works.
Right.
Right? Now, I'd like that at the same time, then only do one of them.
That's the thing.
You know,
so,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, now I don't totally believe that situation because I'm like,
we're going to get five of them now?
We're
going to
get five of them. We're never going to get another James Cameron movie like that is an Avatar before he dies. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of bums me out. Not to say I'm not an Avatar fan. I am.
Sure.
But
next one's going to be 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
3 hours, 15?
3 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, I thought, like, I mean, I was thinking it'd go to four.
I bet the last one will. Yeah. I bet the last one will be four.
Yeah.
This is almost like the reverse Avatar for me, this movie, which is crazy to say about a French musical movie. Yeah. It's like the reverse Avatar that you kind of described, whereas with Avatar, I've spoken on the show about this before, but I love the format.
Yeah.
I love what he put on screen.
Yeah.
Hate the story. Don't care for the story at all.
Yeah.
Whereas for this one, I think the story is actually quite nice and mature.
Yeah.
But the format is just not for me. And it never really has been. I mean, Les Misérables.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about that one either.
Okay. Interesting.
Not crazy
going
about
a little Jean Valjean.
Yeah. Nope. I don't need Russell Crowe singing to me. Like, that's okay.
Well, I mean, there's a few different other versions.
That is true.
Yeah,
but I'm still.
It's one of the most, like, beloved musicals of, like, all time. Yeah.
And I get it. I see the appeal. It's just not for me. And same thing with, obviously, Cats. An entirely sung
Well, Cats movie. Is. Yeah. Cats is. I don't know what's going on there. I know it's big and everyone loves it. I mean, Memories is like one of the most famous like Broadway songs of all time. However, never connected with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just
and
never,
the movie didn't?
Well, the movie is one of the wildest things like that. I mean, yeah, it's. And I mean, speaking of, it's the same director as Les Mis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now that guy is a fan of sung through musicals. Like that guy is like a huge.
I mean, he's
fan
doing
of,
something.
I mean, yeah, he's like putting like lapel mics on all the actors so that he can actually get them like acting and singing at the same time. No vocal dub afterwards.
Yeah.
So
I don't believe that. By the way, there's 100% vocal dubs.
I mean, there's 100%. There's vocal dubs on regular non-singing movies. Where it's just dialogue.
The whole thing's vocal dubs. I mean, they say that so that it's a nice marketing thing, and but unfortunately, it's actually mostly for the actors to make them feel nice. It's all
like it has to be, right?
Yeah.
I'm not. I didn't do like again. I'm not a fan of the movie, so I didn't do too much research into it. But like,
they just took like on set audio, and that's what you can get in the soundtrack. That's the soundtrack. Is everything? Yeah. Everything's just magically mixed perfectly. Like, so what are you talking about? That they all had in-ear monitors so you wouldn't hear the music outside, because if you did that, you couldn't
catch the actual. They would catch the
That's what I'm saying.
Coming out of the speakers, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So they all had in-ear monitors, and not one person moved or made some other noise. Like that, they were all everything was perfect the whole time. Not one act. Like, dude, don't give me that. It's the whole thing is overdone.
Because then that would also mix up the post production of the people, like the footsteps, like the Foley work,
the
right?
Foley work.
It would completely screw that.
No, I know. So when you look at that, and then you like the. Like, look at behind the scenes stuff, and you tell me that's not like
a little bit fabricated.
It's like,
you know?
that's like people like, or anyone that's you know, that believes that the Super Bowl is. I mean, that's not a live performance. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, the halftime show.
Yeah, it hasn't been a live performance forever. I don't think they've ever done a live performance. Like,
especially if you have to like the people who are dancing.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
You're like, running the whole length of a football field while singing,
like, and somehow not one person is out of breath.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like.
Yeah.
Like.
And these aren't athletes, so they're not.
Well,
like,
and a few musicians have come out and talked about it. Like I believe when. Red Hot Chili Peppers, they did a bit on one of the shows, and they were like, So, and you can watch their, like, they did, they weren't the halftime show, but they came up, out as, like, and were part of one of the shows or whatever. And you can just see, like, Flea and the other guy just doing whatever because, like, they hate, like, they were like, why am I, like, this?
Right.
I'm just playing to a track. Like, what is this, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that's, it's an absurd thing to say.
That makes me think about this one. Like, because this, if the entire movie for The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, if this movie was completely done post-dub, mm-hmm. right? Like, does that mean every ounce of audio for that movie was done in post-production?
Probably.
Wow.
I mean, that could, I don't know
really
anything.
Impressive. That...
I don't know anything. I haven't heard the movie. I have not researched the movie. However, it could be that that's how they did it. It also could be, I mean, they're French, so you can't,
right.
They could also just be like, they did everything on set. Like, that is something that a crazy French person would do.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So it just, I would have to look into it and see what the production was on it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot there that would be really interesting to look into because it is a full, like, I'm sure there was like, you know, crowd noises and footsteps all those things. And, but then there is like the whole movie is singing. So that presents a whole other side of, and issues and things to worry about. So
exactly.
It's kind of, yeah, that'd be interesting to look into.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to rewatch it one of these days just so that I can kind of, kind of pay more attention. I was kind of, trying to gather like more things, like the fact that it just trying to get on board with the format and trying to pay attention to the story and like the characters. So maybe next time I pay more attention to the other side. But overall, enjoyed the movie.
Yeah,
I'd recommend it if you're a fan of musicals because it's worth checking out just for that format alone.
Yeah,
great use of colors in it as well.
Yeah,
a lot of pastel colors, but like. Yeah. It's a very nice movie,
mm-hmm.
very nice looking movie, mm-hmm. which is very interesting because this is a very colorful movie.
Yeah.
And the next movie we're going to talk about is not very colorful at all.
Has no color.
Has no
color.
Well,
it does. It has brown and green in it.
A lot of that, but yeah, that's about it. So after the break, we're going to get into the second movie that was chosen for Mike, and that would be Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. Radio Western. You are back with Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. We are currently in the middle of our audience movie recommendation watch, where audience members send in their suggestions and their requests for us to watch a movie and talk about them on air after we've seen them. Today was, or at least this edition, we've done this once before. And,
yeah.
And, you know, some of us got movies we had seen, I believe, and then some of us had gotten movies that we had never seen. This one actually worked out so that we had not seen any of these movies before.
This one was for good reason.
I was going to say mine was just it just so happened to be that way. It just never like it just fell off my radar. Yours was an intentional non-watch. So in the first half we talked about me watching The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, and for this one you were selected.
Selected, yeah.
Selected.
Forced.
Forced to watch the Paul Thomas Anderson 2017 film Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
So I guess the quick way to sum this one up is obviously Paul Thomas Anderson wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
It's about a dressmaker in the 1950s.
Yeah, it is.
And he likes a life by himself. He has a very particular way of doing things. And then somebody comes into his world.
Well, they're together and... Sorry.
They end up becoming together, and
their dynamic is really interesting. Basically, he's kind of almost like a cuck. Can I say that on air?
I think
air?
You can say that.
Like his mom, he's kind of just run by his mom, but like he's like almost like a 12-year-old boy, like trapped in a man's body. Like he just
right.
wants to make dresses, and this girl's like. Like, I want to spend time with you. And he's like,
nah,
like
I got a dress to make.
But I have to listen to my mom. You know what I mean? And it's like...
His mom and his sister, too, right?
Or is that his sister? Dude, I don't know. His sister, his mom, whoever that person is. And then, she starts poisoning him, which is awesome. That's, like, the coolest part of the movie. And, that's... And then they're like... Yeah, that's it. That's the movie.
Thank you for tuning in to
Outside
the Frame. So this was.
I mean, I have to qualify a couple of things. Okay,
for sure, because we know that you were not anticipating or liking or willing to watch this movie at all. And so you were texting me and Dalton last night while watching this movie, which I found very funny. A movie that famously Dalton and I both enjoy quite a bit.
Basically, Dalton was like, you have no taste in art, like, if you don't like this movie, is what he said. So I was like, cool. So if this is the litmus test, I'm very happy to have bad taste. Yeah.
So, so talk us through it. So you watched this movie.
Uh-huh.
You did actually end up watching it. So now now you've seen every single Paul Thomas Anderson film.
I have.
Film.
Yep. Okay. That did knock that off the list. Yeah.
Congratulations.
The last one.
And so, did you like this movie?
No, of course not. This movie is absolutely terrible. Like,
Why did you not like this movie?
However, it's a well-made movie. Like, that's right. So there's a few things I have to qualify there, like, give context for. Number one is that, I mean, Paul Thomas Anderson is not a guy that makes, like, a quote-unquote bad movie in the sense of, like, the acting isn't bad, the writing isn't bad. It's not a badly made film. It looks gorgeous. Like, you know, it is exactly what it says it is, right?
Right.
And hence why I didn't want to watch it. But
because you knew what you were gonna,
And I mean that's where Dalton and I kind of veer off on this whole, is that he thinks it's about all this other stuff, and I'm like, yeah, but it is exactly what it is, which is just I mean, if you want to read into all that stuff, like, more power to you, right? But I knew for a fact, I'd seen enough about the movie, like, even scenes from the movie, to know that it wasn't going to be like, and oh, by the way, it's subversively this interesting, like, cool, like, piece of, like, whatever. No, it's a film that looks like the 1950s, right? It's very brown, it's very green, almost no, like, it's him making dresses and getting ready and, like, measuring people and making tea, and they learned a lot of food making in this movie. It's a movie that, like, a 75-year-old man or woman might enjoy, if they like having, you know, their high noon tea and crumpets, and they would like an interesting, you know, take on the fashion world of the 1950s dressmaking. And here's the thing. Like, that's one other thing that annoyed me about you and Dalton, was that, like, what would you expect? Like, you guys at least know me enough, right? I would say pretty well. Like, in your life, would you think, like, oh yeah, this is, I watched this movie, I've seen it, I really like it. Mike's definitely the person that's going to be into this movie.
Or is
Boogie Nights the movie that I would be, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, for sure.
And I mean, that's what makes, so this is what I was going to say about Paul Thomas Anderson, is this is what makes him one of the great living directors, is, like, he can make something like Boogie Nights and Punch Drunk Love, and also, and One Battle After Another, and then also make something like this, or something like The Master, or There Will Be Blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is really interesting to me. You know, I equated this movie to Barry Lyndon. This is it has a very similar sense of humor. It's not in any way the same story. They're not really trying to do the same thing, but in terms of, you know, Kubrick, who's personally obviously one of my all-timers, also in cinema, one of the most, like, celebrated, and one of the greatest filmmakers to ever live. Barry Lyndon wouldn't even, it would be at the very, I would take his early work. I would take Paths of Glory.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take all, you know, Kubrick's, Lyndon might be my least favorite Kubrick.
Right.
I understand
that.
So you're telling me like, so if you're looking at his, and same with, that's why it's same as PTA. You're looking at Kubrick's filmography and you're like, I wonder if Mike would like Eyes Wide Shut or A Clockwork Orange or, you know, Full Metal Jacket, or maybe this 3.5-hour period piece called Barry Lyndon, you know? And it's the same thing, and it's not just, like, all cinema bros like that will say, like, oh, no, it's actually, you know, you're not seeing all the things behind it, and there's all this other meaning. And that could be true.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that none of that stuff interests me.
Sure.
That the story doesn't interest me.
Mm.
The way that the story is told does not interest me. And that's the same in Phantom Thread. Like, I'm not like, as a filmmaker, would never touch anything like this. This is not anything I'm interested in, like writing, directing, or being involved in any way, shape, or form. And it's not something I would choose to watch in any way. So that's me qualify like that. So that's the first thing. The other thing I'm not going to get into, but that, like, I've been, like, on a personal level, not, we'll say, in the best state of mind when it comes to movies as per late. Mm. And this is has to do with a lot of different elements.
Okay.
That I'm not going to talk about on the air.
Sure.
Okay. Because I know people listen to this show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make people mad. Fair. Like in that way.
Yeah, yeah. I think
like I like pushing buttons. I like being a provocateur, but, you know, I don't want to make certain, like,
don't,
like,
want to make enemies, you know, like,
right.
Yeah.
Like that's not what it is, you know? But that also factors into my enjoyment of watching movies as per late. Mm-hmm. So all of that to say, yeah, when I sat down and watched it, I was like, yeah, dude, this is dog shit. Like, I hate it.
You were pissed. Yeah.
Yeah, I was so angry.
You were so angry. And that's,
yeah,
the thing.
I was so angry, dude.
It seems like you're in a place right now where you just, like, you want to watch movies. And I'm not saying that you never sit down watching a movie being like, I hope this is garbage. But, like,
no,
you're in a spot right now where you just want to watch movies that itch that part of your brain that you want it to, right?
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, okay, I know this is my type of movie. I know this is going to give me enjoyment rather than taking a chance on something.
Well,
not that this was ever a chance. Like, there was no way you were going to like this.
No.
No chance in hell. But it's just like.
Well, I equated it to, like, Dull. I was like, yeah, let's just throw on, you know, Slugs. I love Slugs. Slugs is awesome,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, I would never have the expectation, first of all, that he or someone like him would sit down and watch that movie.
Right.
And then enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's an unfair expectation knowing the person, right?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I want to defend myself at the very least and let you know that I knew that there was no chance you were going to like this movie.
Yeah.
Which
is
exactly why I knew coming into this episode today. Like,
and listen, I'm trying to be as calm and collected as possible. Because I know a lot of people like this movie, and that's cool. Like, it, like, there's, you know, and I even said, I don't remember if I texted you, but I texted Dalton this, like, there's a couple of scenes that are awesome. Like, even, like, I didn't like the movie, but yeah, between Daniel Day-Lewis and his, what's her name? I can't remember her name.
Oh, I'll get it for you in a second. Vicky Creeps.
Vicky.
Yeah.
Like, the scene, I mean, the famous scene from this movie is the scene at the dinner table.
Great
and it's,
scene.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? And the ending of them sitting, like, when they're on the bench and, like, mm-hmm. you know, her, like, you know, like, him getting sick. Like, there's some good moments in the movie where I was like, oh, yeah, that's fun. Or, like, this is a great scene or whatever,
for
right?
For sure.
And, So that part of it was fine. Like, you know, and like I said, it's not like I felt the movie was bad. It's not a bad, like, that's why I didn't rate it on Letterboxd.
Cause,
you know, I'm starting that, like, La La Land would be another one. That's not a badly made movie. I just hate it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, for me,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
For, like, sure. It's just, like, not your taste in the slightest.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, I would on a filmmaking level rate, like, you know, Phantom Thread, like, 5 stars.
Right.
But, like, for me, I would be like -5. Like, it would not even be on the rating. So now I've just started that. Like, if I have to do something like that, I did it with, because I, the other thing too is that, and, you know, we've talked about it on the show. Dalton will bring it up too with Inherent Vice. Inherent Vice is on a different level to me because
interesting.
I feel like I, and I've said this, that we've had long conversations, Dalton and I have had long conversations about that movie in particular, but like, I just haven't figured that movie out.
Okay.
There's a lot of things I love about that movie. There's a lot of elements of that movie that I'm like, I should be into this.
Right.
But I don't like how this, I don't get it 100%. Mm-hmm. And there's movies that I come back to like that where, you know, until I think I've wrapped my head around, like, what was trying to be achieved, what was going on. Like, maybe I missed something. That's what I felt about La La Land. I was like, didn't really like it the first time. And then I'd seen it maybe once, one other time, and didn't really stick for me. So then I rewatched it, And I was like, oh, yeah, I hate this. This is dumb.
Right.
Like, and it's from a filmmaker I love. Like, same with PTA. Oh, yeah. Like I love Damien Chazelle. You know what I mean? Like, I think Babylon's in my top 10 of the last 25 years, okay?
Wow.
I love that movie.
Wow.
It is. It's in my, I posted it. It's in my top 10 of the
that's
last
right.
25 years.
It was in your list.
Yeah. But yeah, I hate, like, La La Land is terrible. I hate that movie.
Yeah. Like, because
like it's not, and it should be something, like, in that one too is like, I mean, it's a musical, but I don't like any of, I like the actors in it. I like the filmmaking.
Right.
I like the way it looks at times, but I don't know.
You don't ever want to watch it again.
I will never choose to watch it again.
It's so funny that you and I can have very, like, very similar takes on a movie.
Yeah.
So, and by this I mean Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
My review on Letterboxd that I had for it, I wrote it when I rewatched it earlier this year for the in preparation for our PTA episode.
Yes.
And I think what I put exactly was, this movie is almost perfect at trying to be what it is.
Yeah, it
but
is.
I gave it like a 4.5.
Yeah.
And you gave it
nothing.
Right? But it's funny that we can both agree on that. But I, like, that's something I like about it.
Yeah.
But that's something, like, you're not crazy about for it. Because you're not a fan of what this is trying to do and what this is trying to accomplish.
No, it's not enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
You know? I just feel, I feel like it's just, it has no energy behind it.
Mm.
Like, the kind, it has no, it's not the right kind of energy that I'm looking for.
Right.
That's why, you know, I mean, The Substance is a great example. Even like, like that movie, that's the energy I'm looking for.
That is nonstop energy.
Right, but that's how my brain is. That's how I want to watch a movie like that, where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen next.
Right.
And she's going to pull
a chicken leg
out of her thigh. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see her explode at the end and cover everyone with blood. Like, this is the energy I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Looking for in movies in general, the stuff that I personally like. And so, I mean, obviously way different movies, but we mentioned, like, Clockwork Orange has a similar, like, this, like, energy to the movie that is, like, transgressive, subversive, punk rock. Like, that's what I'm looking for. This, to me, is, like, an old, dusty, classic novel that's been on a shelf, and someone picks it up and is like, this is the greatest novel that's ever been written. Cool, but, like,
to some people, probably,
but that's not what I'm looking, what I'm looking for, right? That's not what interests me. So, that's, I don't know, man. That, it also, I think the other thing that played, the other thing that played into it, and I'll even use another PTA film as an example, because I was in film school when There Will Be Blood came out, was not for me. I was like, this is pretentious bullshit. Mm-hmm. I hate this movie.
Right.
And because that, you know, when you're 21, 22, you know, and
everyone
around, like, and you, I mean, I had similar personality that I have now.
Right.
Just so now, and everyone's saying, like, you have to, it'd be like, you know, essentially in my world at that time, I'm not saying in the world, but in the world I was living in at the time, that movie was like, you know, Avengers Endgame. Like, in the sense of, everyone I knew was talking about it.
Yep.
Everyone said it's the greatest thing that's ever been made in the history of movies. Same with No Country, right?
That's right.
Greatest thing that's ever happened to movies. This is the greatest film. Everyone was trying to make those kinds of films around me. And
if you don't like it,
and if
something's
you don't like
wrong
it,
with
something's
you.
Wrong with me. And Don would say the same thing. I mean, he literally thinks it. Like, he literally thinks something like, I don't like art because I don't like No Country or this movie or whatever. And that's fine. I mean, we're still friends.
Of course.
Right? But that kind of energy was what I was going, like, even our discussions. Like, while I was watching it, I was like, I'm back in 2007, like, where people are like, there's something wrong with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my response to that is like, I'm going to make, like, exploitation shorts, and I'm going to put, phallic symbols in my movies and all this. I'm going to dump live maggots on people. I'm going I'm going to do all this other stuff. And that's why I got so obsessed with people like Sam Raimi and Kevin Smith and Robert Rodriguez, because, like, their energies, at least initially, because Kevin Smith went down a whole different path, but at the time was like, you're going to buck the system. You're going to do it this way. You can do it on your own. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to do filmmaking or and make films the way that all of these people are telling you to, right?
For sure.
So that's what connected me to the, and it was actually, and I actually said this to Dalton when we were texting, this is the kind of movie that made me want to make movies, because without that like energy and that sort of provocateur, like, I hate this, so I have to do something that I'm into.
That is so interesting, because there's like
that, I hate it so much that I have
you have to make the complete opposite.
I'm going
of
the
it.
Complete opposite. Like I, that's what I like. I remember, like, that's when I wrote my first short. I did all this other I did this exploitation short, like, all outside of the program, right? I was getting all this heat inside of the program for doing all this crazy stuff, because the people around me were making like cowboy and mime movies, and like, you know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
and like going outside and shooting on 16 and doing long dolly takes. And I'm like, I want to like jump off a bridge right now. Like,
it's so interesting. Like, the mirror image that this has with PTA, because there's the famous story that PTA dropped out of film school because his professor told him, like, if you're here to make Terminator 2,
right,
or, like, yeah, you're not gonna
make
it.
And he's never
it.
Made a blockbuster in his life. So, but he still has that punk rock energy,
but
right?
That's exactly it. He was told, like, he was told, this is the type of movie you have to make in order to have good taste.
Yes,
and he left because of that. So it's so interesting that we've come back full circle.
And that's what this movie is. That movie is for, like, if you show this movie, I mean, I said it to you in the thing. Take his name off of it. Show this movie to anybody, and they're like, "Oh, this is like pretentious, like the most pretentious thing that's ever been made, and only like, you know, are like art." And film profs at the, you know, at USC will like it. You know
Here's
what I
the
mean?
Thing. I don't think that I would that ever have guessed that it was.
Yeah.
I think I would still enjoy it. I guess we'll never know. But I know that I never, and I texted you this, I would never in a million years have thought that this was PTA, which kind of speaks to his versatility.
That's what I'm saying.
But
like, I did, and I mean, there's things in it that is throughout, I mean, like the obsession part of Daniel Day's character, and there's things in it that
are common themes in PTA
are common
movies.
Themes.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, this has no way anywhere near the energy and chaos of Boogie Nights.
For sure.
And you know what? Like, and to be fair, like, There Will Be Blood, I came, there was always something about that movie, and it was less about Daniel Day for me and more about Paul Dano. I really liked that whole story, like that whole side story, and because really that's the crux of the movie.
Right.
But it was like everything else around it that I was like, and then, you know, you grow, you actually develop taste, and you go back and you're like, okay, you know what? There, like, this movie is brilliant. Like, There Will Be Blood is awesome.
Of course.
Like, it's so good.
Of
and
course.
That, and I like, if you're telling me themes, the, like, and you know, that it's very obvious once you start, like, when you look at the movie for a second or third time, you're like, okay, so this movie's about obsession and greed, and like, those are themes that I love, right? And you know, I was fascinated by the ending. I didn't understand it, but it was really chaotic and violent
for sure.
And I like that, right? But then, you know, again, after, like, that's a movie I've rewatched like many times,
of course,
right? And yeah, there was just something there. But at the time when it came out, I was like, gross, dude. Like, and it wasn't like, again, that I thought the movie was bad or that it was badly made or that I didn't like Daniel Day-Lewis or something. It was just that I was like, it's not meeting me where I need to be right now.
Yeah.
Like, I went and saw the double feature of Death Proof and Planet Terror. And like, it's the same thing. I mean, now it's come like full circle, and all these like cinephiles and cinema bros are like reclaiming Death Proof, and I'm like, that movie's also dog shit. That's not a well-made movie either. That's in a different category. That's a bad movie.
Right.
That's a straight up bad movie. And it's not well made, and it's nothing. The last 20 minutes is great. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I
right.
love the last. And see, they made the mistake, and it makes sense on paper, but they made the mistake of programming that as Planet Terror first and Death Proof second. And the problem with that is that Planet Terror is a grand old time. There is blood, guts, all the things you want in a sleazy sort of like...
Got a machine gun for a leg.
Like, it's a lot of fun. You're not taking it too... It's not taking itself seriously. It's your straight-up absurd action exploitation film. And it's so much... It was so much fun to watch. And I've watched it many times since. It's such a fun watch. And then you go into an hour and 40 minutes of people talking.
Yeah. And for most of that movie, yeah.
And that's insane.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're trying to tool the genre and you're trying to, I mean, and he's said, you know, I love all my movies and blah, blah, blah. And they're all, I mean, sorry, dude, but like, you know that, like, and you can see it when he talks about it, in my opinion. You can see that he knows he made a bad movie.
Right.
And especially, you hold that up against, like, the next film he's going to make, which is Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that movie is next.
He
right?
had to apologize.
He
for
couldn't
sure.
have
yeah.
done any like his. I'm telling you, we look at him very differently if he doesn't have Inglourious Django and Once Upon a Time before or Once Upon a Time
in Hollywood.
If he doesn't have those three films, we look at his career very. If he starts veering off. You know, after Death Proof, it is a very different career.
Yeah.
We're talking about him like he had three good movies in the 90s.
Yeah, he's just the guy who made right? Pulp Fiction, and,
right.
you know.
So.
Listen, I am sorry that, but not sorry that I made you watch this movie, or that we made you watch this movie, I guess, by luck,
hey,
by the
well,
luck of it.
We
I promise there was no shenanigans, is that's just how it played
there was
out.
Shenanigans. But
I know you'll never believe me, and now I've given you trust issues.
No, dude, that was already there. But, you know, I'm glad that this movie exists, or not, sorry, not it doesn't exist. I wish it didn't exist, but if it does, I'm glad I watched it so I could... take it off the list because
yep.
now I've seen every PTA film and that's great.
Yeah.
So happy about that. And that's about the only thing that I'm happy about.
In honor
in
to, for me to make you a little happier as my gift back to you for
sure.
making you sit through this as part of this, I would like to give everybody an update to our.
Oh yeah, please.
Yes. To our what's it called? Our. Stock market drafting, our OTF, our outside the frame stock market. Here's the thing. I am currently sitting with the way that the running man played this weekend.
yeah, it didn't do well, did it?
It barely did okay. Yeah, I think it did like 17 million. I'm sitting at currently, my portfolio is at 5,000.
So what's your portfolio?
So my portfolio
just to recap.
The people that are, of the movies that have come out,
yes.
I've had The Smashing Machine, One Battle After Another, and The Running Man on mine. You've only had two movies come out for yours, which would be, I believe it's two.
Yeah, oh,
yeah, it's two. It's just two. It's If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, and The Conjuring,
The
Last
Rites.
With that being said...
So what was your number?
5,500.
So that's what's in your
portfolio. Three movies.
Yeah, of three movies. And that's what's in your portfolio right
yes.
now.
For
yeah.
you, yeah. for two movies,
yeah.
you have $7,320. Now, what I would like to say
yeah.
is that the last two of my movies coming out, you also have.
Yes.
With that being said,
so
there's no way I catch up at this point.
No. What's the third film I have?
So you have the other three movies you have.
Yeah. Zootopia 2,
Avatar.
Oh, I have Avatar.
You have Avatar
and then
Marty Supreme. Yes.
Yeah, it's over. It's game over, dude.
So I would like to, at least, because they're like mathematically, there is no way I come back from this.
No.
So I would like to admit defeat here.
Yes, let's go.
For our first ever stock market.
We're
game.
Gonna keep. We'll keep an eye on it and give you guys like the
for
full
sure.
number, full numbers at, after in the new year. Just
because, yes, yeah. I do have a new one planned that starts in January and
it'll
take us
great.
To June.
I'm so pumped about that
yeah.
because it's. I love this.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And what was the other guys that the
oh
guys
my God.
Not
I didn't
here.
Even check because
didn't
it was
check.
So bad.
It was so bad.
yeah, of his movies, he had one battle after another was his biggest by far.
And that's made
he also,
what 50,
70 million domestic and had a 95 on Metacritic.
I mean, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But then he had The Smashing Machine and...
Terrible. Like, literally the worst thing.
Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere.
But, like, just bombs.
Rough.
Bombs.
Rough go of things. So,
yeah.
I would like to declare you the champ.
Let's go. The champ after two movies, dude?
Two movies.
Come on.
In two moves,
Come
you just
on.
Swept. So, yes. Congratulations.
What do I get?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. We never actually figured that out.
We'll have to figure out what my prize is.
Yes.
And it'll be episode related. Like, it'll be something like where, you know, we just get to talk about movies that I want to talk about.
Something like that. Or maybe I'll get you like a WWE belt or something
maybe
like
our
that.
Maybe I'll choose our next rewatchable.
That would work as well. I'm okay with that. Yeah. So
okay, I'm cool with that. I'll pick something that is like, I'm not gonna pick like a Serbian film or something like that.
I appreciate that.
So that would be really entertaining though.
Yeah. Thank you so much everybody for tuning in to Outside the Frame. We will be back next week with Andrew Dodd. My name is Elijah.
My name is Mike.
And we will see you all next week. Take care of yourselves until then.